I always start my sessions off with a picture at the start of the session. This is mainly for tax reasons, but also for the world-famous Rob Miles blog. I take the picture at the start because it's important to catch the audience when they're still happy. But I'm going to spend an hour or so beating that out of you. We'll see how we go from there. Jolly good. Right, it'll all be on the world-famous robmiles.com. How many folk have been to robmiles.com? Oh, wow. An audience of fans love it. Okay, great. In that case, you may find some of the jokes strangely familiar, or maybe not strangely. I have the usual setup. I have a bunch of emergency jokes, which I'll work my way through. Rob Tiffany did a really good talk just before this one about mobile development and fetching stuff from servers and scaling up and big data and all kinds of goodly stuff. He gave away a book at the end of his session as well, which he's just written about Windows tablet development. I'm not going to give you a book at the end of my session. I'm going to give you a rocket. There you go. Along with an I learned something from Rob plaque. Okay, so pay attention, and you could win this strangely shaped piece of plastic, which is utterly unique apart from the other three. Okay, this is kind of like the, hey, I've got a 3D printer drop, which I'll put into the conversation, and I can't think what else to do with it drop. If I forget to do that bit, then please shout out and remind me. The phone, if you want to fill in your, you've all got little blue tags with your names and what have you. The name you write in there is Rob Miles. That should double my chances. If I win, it's terribly embarrassing. I shan't be putting a card in. So if you all write Rob Miles on yours, it would really embarrass me, and I get a free phone. So, yeah, okay, that kind of works for me as well. Right, so if you fill that in, we'll do the draw at the end. The bad news is you have to stay all the way through to the end to get to the draw. There has to be a bit of bad news. I really like this slide because this has an old person telling young, enthusiastic-looking people stuff, and that's kind of like where I fit in. I like old people being seen as wise and worth listening to. I'll have no idea what the diagrams are. Okay, I'll move on to where we are. Speechifying applications on Windows Phone 8. My name's Rob Miles. I work at the University of Hull in the UK. It's the best university in the world, universe, and space. I'm a Microsoft MVP and also a Nokia Windows Phone champ, which is kind of nice as well. And my blog is www.robmiles.com. And when I mention that, I want you all to go, woo. Or maybe not. We'll just keep on moving forward, shall we? What I want you to think about is the business of, well, business. My cloud is white. Rob Tiffany's cloud was black. So read into that what you will. I have no idea. But Windows Phone is an extremely sensible choice for business, which is getting more sensible over time. One of the things that Rob did in his previous session, which was rather nice, is that basically he took a whole chunk of business logic and made it work on tablet and phone, and the code was just the same. There's a convergence taking place. There's an ability to link with the back end, which is happening, which is making it a really compelling place to write code with a common way of doing things, with reusable code, with all that good stuff. And so, yeah, think about it as a good place to do stuff. In terms of where I'm coming from on this, there's two things I am convinced about with regard to mobile development. One is the customers, the users, the people that pick up your phone and use it for a game or whatever will expect it to have voice response quite soon. They won't expect to have to press buttons on their phone to make things happen. They'll expect to say things and the phone to do sensible stuff in return. The second thing they'll expect, which is kind of like a subtle plug for my 3:15 talk today, is they expect background behavior. They expect the phone to do useful stuff while they aren't using it. So they'll expect your line of business app, whatever it is, to tell them when their order's been shipped. They'll expect to be able to ask what's on at the movies tonight. They'll expect it to know stuff and respond to it through speech. And I'm doing kind of like the first half now, which is basically I want to show you how you can take the Windows Phone speech abilities and basically speechify your apps. So if you've got an app that runs on phone, how many Windows Phone developers are in the room? How many in the house? Okay, a few. How many are thinking about it? Okay, how many are here for the free phone? Two honest people, fantastic. It's worth getting into. It's really easy. It's great fun. And adding speech is like that. It's really easy. At the end of this session, you should have enough bits and pieces to take away and actually put speech into your application or your game, whatever it is. I'm going to put all the source code on robmouse.com. One will do. I'll take a pity woo. That's okay. I don't mind. Take what I've given you and basically put speech into your app, both in terms of speaking and in terms of making sense of what people say. So I'm going to go through basically how you make it talk, and then how you make it listen, and how you make the listening useful. And I've got some examples of code, and I've even got an app in Marketplace which actually uses speech input and works rather well. In fact, I've got a couple out there which I'll mention and show you how they work a bit later as well. So basically, how to make it talk, how to make it listen, how to think in terms of putting this stuff in your app, because the users are going to expect. They'll be driving in their car, they'll press a button, they'll give a command, and your app will come back and do something useful on the back of that. There's a whole bunch of really interesting application scenarios that could well be explored using the speech features that the phone gives you, and so I want to mention those as well. So speech of Windows Phone, making it talk. Now, those of you with long memories can go back as far as Windows Phone version 7.5, which is a year and a bit ago, and that had voice support built into the OS. Okay, you could actually start programs by issuing a voice command, and it would read text to you, and you could then compose and send a reply. And I found this great when I was driving, because it'll read your text when it comes in, and it'll then actually wait for you to dictate the reply, and then away you go from there. Windows 8 builds on this and lets your applications use full-fat speech, if you like. You can do everything. You can do all kinds of nice things with speech on a variety of levels. I'm going to make all this clear as we go through. Speaking is really easy because there's basically a speech synthesis feature built in. You can start applications and give them commands. Applications can accept commands on voice input, and there's also a thing called free speech recognition, which is basically where you can say anything and it'll give you that back as a string that you can do something with. There's an important point to bear in mind here, which I'm going to keep on hammering back to. There's two or three things I want you to really take away. One is free speech recognition, where you basically say anything you like to the thing and it makes sense of that and comes back, requires a network connection. So if I want to actually dictate a text to my wife, then I'll have to be online at the time, either through GPRS or through Wi-Fi. But you can build spoken commands into the system that will work anytime. Okay? Not just when you're online, anytime. In a tunnel, down a coal mine, phone in silent mode, whatever, it'll just work. And that's one of the things I really want to focus on, because it's terribly, terribly useful. So there's a whole bunch of different ways you can do this and how you can make it work. I want to take you through these. So at the end of this, you can walk away and go, I'm going to put speech in my app now. Or I'm going to write an app that uses speech and does useful things, because there's all kinds of fun you can have with this. Speech synthesis is the easy one. Let's do that. Windows Phone developers will know all about capabilities. I could make a joke. Have you heard of a guy called Capability Brown, British landscape gardener? Why would you? Anyway, he's not relevant, so ignore him. When you make an app, you have to tell the system what features on the phone it uses. So you go into your application manifest and you say, I'd like to use recognition, please. You have to have this whether or not you're actually going to use the speech bit. If you want to use the speech recognition, you have to have this and the microphone turned on. The good news is the system will basically give you an error when you build and deploy the application if you don't set these right. So finding out they're wrong is quick and easy. So we turn on the capability and we then bring in the namespace. And there's lots of code samples here and it all just works. So once we've got those two things in, we can make the program say something. And a good thing that a computer might like to say is, I like cheese, okay? A lot of my applications and demos and things tend to be fairly cheese-centric. I did this survey and found that quite a few really good programmers that I've met quite like cheese. This doesn't mean if you don't like cheese, you aren't a very good programmer. So don't worry about that. But this is basically how you make it say, I like cheese. It's an asynchronous call, which means it's kind of fire and forget, in that once you've said that, then the system will go off and say that message and your program will keep on going. To make it work, you have to put an async modifier on the method so that it knows the compiler knows to build it in a certain way. But if you want to make a system say, I like cheese, then that's all you have to do. Make a synthesizer and then tell it to say the message. There's no need for a network connection. It all just works. That will use the speech synthesis in the default language settings, and it just works like that. There is a little nasty, though, which it's well worth knowing about if you're going to submit your app to the marketplace, which is that in Windows Phone, at any point in the application of in the life of an application, the user can go off and do something else. So at any point when your app is live, they could press the start button, and they could basically kick your app into the sidelines and bring the start menu up and do something else. They could use the back button and change applications. If they do that, and your app is in the middle of speaking, you've given it a message to say, and it's gone off to say that, then your app will get thrown away in the usual way. But when the app is resumed, it tries to pick up at the same point. And this is the kicker. When it does this, if your app was interrupted by the user pressing back or the Windows key, it will throw an exception on the resume. Now, this is a good way to make your application fail marketplace certification, because one of the things they'll do is make it start speaking, interrupt it, and then see if the app will resume. It's one of the weirdest, nastiest bugs I have ever seen in my life, because it only happens on the production device. If you run it through the debugger, it doesn't happen. If you run it actually holding the phone, it does happen. So, not a real problem, just when you've made it say, I like cheese, catch the exception that might get thrown. And if you see that magic number, then it means that the reason why the application was throwing exceptions is because the user had interrupted it speaking. So this is kind of like a useful thing to know. My particular program did nothing. But what you could do is you could make a system go, as I was saying, and sort of before you rudely interrupted me. So this is worth knowing. It's a thing which is kind of like a weird one, it took me a while to figure out what was going on. But if you know about it now, you won't have this problem. And maybe it'll be fixed in a later version. But at the moment, as far as I'm aware, if you want your code to work, catch the exception, and you'll be absolutely fine. If you don't do that, yes, they'll catch. You get told off. If you want to, you can actually pull the installed voices on your phone and search through them, pull out the French one if you like, and pick that. So what we're doing now is we're saying, I want to actually speak within the French voice or the Italian voice or whatever. And this looks it's a little bit of a little query, which I'm saying, go and get me the French one. Then we'll basically pull that one in and use it. So you can do that if you want, and that all works quite well as well. I've got a little demo which I'll show you, which is kind of funky. If I press that button, oh look, there's my blog. Woo, thank you. It's well worth a trip, at least once. What I've got here is a little bit of C# that does all this stuff. But what it does is it works through all the languages saying, I like cheese in each of them. Okay, that's all it does. So if you want to see how to pick languages and make things say, I like cheese, then this is pretty much a close to a perfect solution to that particular problem. So if I now get my program running and I hit the I like cheese button.
I like cheese.
He like cheese. I like cheese.
I like cheese. I like cheese.
I like cheese.
It gets quite funny towards the end.
I like cheese.
He like cheese. He like cheese.
I like cheese.
I
like cheese.
These are all the various.
You
won't get all these languages in a particular production phone that's out in the market. This is the image which has all of them built in. But you can work through them and find the nearest match based on what the customer actually wants. So you can listen to that. It goes on for a while. And I'll make it go quiet. I like cheese. Good for you. Right, fine. So that's the cheese saying program, which you bet you never thought you were going to see one of those when you came in today. Well, there you are. So that's how you do it. And all this does is it actually iterates through all of them rather than building a query and looking for a particular one. And that all works splendidly. One of the things you can do, which is kind of useful as well, You give the program a piece of text to say, and it will just say it. So I can give it a perfectly ordinary string if I want. Alternatively, if you want to make it sound a little bit more believable and realistic, you can drop in these markup using the speech synthesis markup language, and so I can put things like ordinal, so when it sees first 1st, it won't say 1st or ones or that kind of stuff. It'll actually say first at that point. So if you're actually spitting this out from program and you're giving the user dates and times and positions and that kind of stuff, you can actually add markup language to what you're about to say to make it speak in a much more believable and sensible way. The voice output on the phone, I reckon, is extremely good. I've been very, very impressed with it. And this allows it to make it even better. So I can change the pitch, the rate, the volume, the pronunciation, and other things. I can get inflection in there. I can make it sound a little bit surprised if I want to, which you might want to do. The more human you make it, the more the user will like it. I remember I got a sat-nav once many years ago, which tried to... In England, we have a road called the A1, and it said, turn onto the A first, which I thought was quite amusing, the A first way. But this gets around these problems. This makes it say things in a way that actually makes a lot more sense. And you can also, if you want to, you can make it read a file out. So you can feed it a file of text, and it will speak that file out for you as well. Again, bear in mind, if you do this, catch exceptions that get thrown. And here's a bit of speech markup for us all to marvel at. Basically, I'll make it say that phrase. If I do this, you can all see that. That's great. Speech markup, SML demo. All these demos are going on the blog. I'm doing this through the emulator, but you could use a real phone. It all just works. So now if I hit this, hit it again. I did, didn't I? Yeah, okay. I like it when people are away. I turned the cheese thing down. Okay, so we'll do that. Let's do that again. You don't win the prize, I'm afraid, but...
Your first request was made on January 29th, 2013.
So that's saying it properly. So if you want to bring information out of a database or a table, I'm talking about background agents this afternoon. And so one of the things you could do is have a background agent fetching update text down to give status alerts and then play them this way. And you could make the alerts much more believable by putting the markup language in so that what they say actually makes proper sense. So do watch that one. It's pretty good by default, but it's even better if you add some extra bits and pieces in there. One of the things you have to bear in mind, you will notice that the lady who spoke had an American accent. When I tried to use the SSML technology using the GB locale, it didn't work. I had to switch to US. Now, I'm not saying this is a stopper. What I'm saying is check this out before you actually do too much of it. So make sure it'll work and you've got the locale lined up to make it actually give the markup language. Otherwise, you might find it doesn't quite do what you're expecting. So do bear that in mind, and you'll be absolutely fine. So that's it. That's speech in a nutshell. You can now make your apps talk. An app that could read out your schedule for the day or an email message. You could do all that kind of stuff. Of course, you can't make it do it unless the user starts the application running. Apps can't suddenly get control of the system and start speaking from the background or whatever. I'll talk about more about that later on in the day. But what they can do is we can start programs out using voice commands. And this is really, I guess, the meat of the talk, because this is the stuff which I think you'll find most useful. Speaking is easy. It's just an API call and a bit of markup to make it sound even better. But making stuff work using voice commands, that's much more like it. In the old days, if you're making a Windows Phone 7 app, then in that situation, all they could do is start a program running. In fact, my biggest selling, I say selling, I gave it away, but I had 22,000 downloads of a program which I wrote called Play Music. And all Play Music does is play music. It finds a random playlist and plays it. And I thought of this as I was driving to work in the car, thinking, it would be kind of nice if I could actually get the phone to start playing music without touching it. And so I made a program called Play Music, and all it does when it starts up is it finds a random playlist and then plays the music in that playlist. And that's it. And I put it on App Store. I had the idea driving into work. I had it on Marketplace that evening because I wrote it in my lunch hour. And 22,000 downloads. If I had charged €1 each for those, that would have been quite good. But I didn't, so there you go. But the nice thing about phone is you can do this. You can go from little idea to application to a little bit of market penetration, if nothing else. And so in the Windows 7 days, all you could do was say, give the name of the program, and the system will run. But Windows Phone 8 is even better, because in Windows Phone 8, I can give the name of the program followed by some command words. So I can get the program to actually pull those command words in, respond to them, and do sensible things. And the nice thing about this particular point in the recognition process is we don't need to use the network. It all works on the phone itself. If you're very old, like I am, you might remember a thing called Voice Command, which was years ago on Windows Mobile and was terribly nice. And I was kind of bemoaning the lack of it when Windows Phone came out. Well, Voice Command has been reborn in the Windows Phone 8, and it works extremely well. And the reason it works well is that it has a particular vocabulary set which it's pre-programmed with. So unlike free speech, it's picking words out of a particular set. It's not just figuring out what the words actually mean. And so you can register a bunch of trigger words, and then the user, when they speak those particular words, they get pushed into your program, and your program can then do sensible things with them. So the sequence is that you register your trigger words with the Windows Phone OS, and then when the user actually says those words, your app gets launched and the words get pushed into it. And it is as simple as that. To do it, you have to point the system at a file, which is vcdcommands.xml, little lump of XML. That's the one I made. I'll show you in a second in studio. You can make one of these very easily. There's a template for it in the project. And once you've got the one in the template, you can then modify whatever you like. This one is the one that I wrote for my little program. So I say, go get your commands from this file. And at that point, it starts to recognize the words that file mentioned. This means that they have to run your program once to get the trigger words installed. This method has to be called and run at some point. I do it in the constructor for the page. You could do it in apps.daml.cs. You could do it anywhere the program starts up. But this has to happen at least once before you get your application recognized text. Once you've done that, you're in business, okay? And what I've done, a bit more cheese. I've known people forget to eat cheese for days on end, okay? And the Cheese Marketing Board, amongst other people, isn't very keen on this. So what this program does, and it's kind of like a crossover onto this afternoon's talk as well, is it sets a reminder to remind you to eat some cheese, okay? But with it being a Windows Phone speech talk that I'm giving, the actual time that you specify is set using voice input. So my example app is a thing called Cheese Reminder, and basically it reminds you to eat cheese after a certain amount of time. As it says, please don't use this if you're lactose intolerant, okay? It might end really, really badly. But if you like cheese and think maybe in 10 minutes I might eat some cheese, so I'll set a reminder to do that, then absolutely fine. You can use this for other things, all right? You could use it for car parking or anything where you want a reminder to fire in a few minutes. What you'll notice here is this is the wonderfully graphical. I actually bought that piece of cheese and photographed it. This is how committed I am to not being sued by Microsoft's copyright partners and stuff. So that no longer exists because it was delicious. This is the user interface for my app, such as it is. And this is the help which is produced by the system based on my XML. So this is part of the help for the application, and it says cheese reminder followed by, as an example, 10 minutes. You could say 5 minutes, 1 hour, or whatever, and it picks it up. So this is the help system that my application binds into. If you have loads of commands, this thing fills up with command descriptions, of which more in a second or two. If you look at how it really works, then that little XML file I mentioned, well, here it is. It has the prefix, the phrase that you say to start things off. That is effectively, we say that, and at this point, the system knows we are about to try and do something with our application. Interesting things to bear in mind, this isn't tied to the app name. So if your application wasn't called Cheese Reminder, you could still you could use a different command prefix. There's a wrap around here, which I'll show you in the file in a second or two. This is the English version. You could make a version of the trigger phrase list for any language and drop them all in line and pick them up programmatically when the program runs. There's my example that you saw on the example slide a few seconds ago. And that is just the phrase that pops up when the user asks for help. Set reminder is just a name I give the command. So when the command is pushed into my program, I'm going to get command name of set reminder given. Because as you can see, that you can add more commands should you wish to do that, because each command is picked up by a particular phrase. So check stock levels, check sales figures for March, all this kind of stuff. Is my pair of trousers in stock yet? All that kind of stuff. You could build that up really easily. There's my example of this particular set reminder request. And then this is kind of like the interesting bit. What we have here is the stuff I'm listening for. The word set is optional. I put it in square brackets. So you can have trigger phrases that contain optional components as well as bits that must be there. Then I have two things in curly brackets, one called number and one called units. These are phrase lists. So effectively, you'll see that the number phrase list, I'm jumping ahead of myself, is further down. And it's basically all the words I want to recognize for the number. And I put 1, 2, I went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, up to 20. You have a question, sir? Question is, if you want to listen to it, can you spell it phonetically? For what? For say?
For a product name, for example.
Ooh. I don't think you can. I've never tried it. What you'd have to do is put the word in and see what happens, and then probably tune that a little bit to make an English word that sounds a bit like it. I don't think there are no escape sequences. This is just a piece of text which you put in there. One of the things I have found success with is I've actually got this running on a program called Voice Music, and Voice Music takes record names, and some of those aren't proper words, really. Azure by 3D Dan. I can pick that up, and it'll recognize it. So I'd put the word in and see what it does, because it's doing its own phonetic. You might want to change and put double O's or OU's or things to force it to get the sound that you want, but you'd have to kind of fiddle with that and hardwire it. It's an interesting question, but as far as this system is concerned, it's getting straight text. So the question was, can we put it in phonetically? And the answer is, not really, but you can get the same effect by careful tuning of the word that you give it, if that helps. Okay? So that's in. Those are my numbers. I have a second set of phrases called units further down, which is hours and minutes and seconds. Once I've put that in, I then see that there's my phrases for numbers. I then have a piece of feedback, which is something which the system will say in response to this command. Now, you can leave that out if you want. You can have the thing not say anything. You can have your program say the feedback. And then the final little bit on this sequence is the XML page in my application we're going to hit when the user gives this request. So what's going to happen is like a deep link. When they give that command, the program will jump into that particular page and display it. So your application will be started, and it will do some on the loaded event for that page. We'll then check to see what the command is, and then we'll do something sensible on the back of that. Okay? So they're launching your app at a particular page, and they're giving it a bunch of commands. Does that make sense? Okay. And so you can make these things as complex as you like. You can put phrase lists in or have fixed sets of words. And that's the one I made for number. And it's actually in the real program, as you'll see in a minute, quite a bit bigger because it goes on for as many numbers as I could think of. I think after about 25, I kind of got bored and didn't go any further than that. But there you go. In terms of what's happening when I arrive on my page, I have to see if I got here on the back of the user saying something. So I say, if it's my first trip here, if we're just arriving on this page and the application's just been started and my query string contains the key against the context contains the key voice command name, that means that we've got a voice command that's fired this off, And now I can actually use that on the dictionary, which gives me the query strings. And if it's set reminder, then I start doing things at this point. So this particular one I'm doing here is I'm getting the delay number from the phrase list for numbers, and I have a second string which I set in the color here in a second, which gets the actual units, and then away we go. So picking the commands up is quite easy. If I had multiple commands, then I'd have more cases down here. I'd have set reminder, clear reminder, tell me when the reminder's going to go off, how much longer have I got, extend it by 5 minutes, all these kind of things. You could just stack them up. It's the same technology. So anything where you've got a bunch of individual commands you want to have picked up by your app and then dealt with by a page, this is how you do it. And I can show you the code now actually working. That'll be exciting. I have to press the button, of course, so otherwise you won't see. So now I jump across to here. That's the demo which we're bored with. That can go away. Let's go find cheese reminder. Now, all the code, this is my, before we run it, just to build up the excitement and to fever pitch, to get a nice level of frenzy. Can't see much frenzy, actually. Oh, never mind. This is in America, of course, that's why. So there's my numbers. There's my units, minute, minutes, hour, and hours. And this is my listen for set number units. That's my feedback. This is my target page. 10 minutes is my example code. You can see here, I've done this using language English US. I could make an English GB version of this, along with other language versions, should I wish to use those as well. If I drop onto the actual XAML that makes up the reminder page, which is going to be reminder set page, here it is, then it has a lovely piece of XAML, which designed, and you see that picture of the cheese clip art. If we go and look in the code, come on, show me the code. My brain's not working today. Reminder set page, there you go. It's because I'm very old and very vain, and I've got these varifocal glasses, so everything from about there is a massive blur at the moment. So I can't see the first row, front row at all, which is probably just as well, I don't know. I digress. This is the code. I haven't told any jokes yet. Did you know that every year 10,000 road sweepers die in Venice? They drown. No? Okay, fine. There's these two fish in a tank, and one says to the other, how do you drive this? Okay, and finally, just for now, there's a friend of mine, he started going out with a girl who's got x-ray eyes, but I've no idea what she sees in him. Right, quit when you're ahead. I have others. So this is the code, bit of code to decode numbers, a little bit of code, and here's the voice command code which is fired when we actually get our message through. And so I get the delay number, I get the delay units, and then I call the set reminder method, which I'll go into in a bit more detail this afternoon, which sets the reminder off. So I set the program running, and I do it in the emulator, and so I've got no reminders at the moment. That's absolutely fine. Now, on Windows Phone, to make it respond to speech, we hold this button down. And we get this wonderful broken doorbell. Cheese reminder, 1 minute.
Setting a reminder.
So it takes me into the reminder page. There it is. And it's got 59 seconds or so to go. So everything you just saw just happened. Okay, so in a minute or so's time, it will go off and it will remind me to eat some cheese. Okay, so there's nothing to this. The code is really easy. All you have to do is decide what your commands are going to be, build a little structure. You can use more than one page if you like. Each page could have different commands. And just build it up. And so that's it. And in a minute or so's time, the reminder should pop up, and then we can click through to the actual reminder page as well. That doesn't count down. It would be kind of fancy if it did, but it doesn't. If I back out of here, the application, there you go, there's my reminder. So I can snooze, or if I click on here, it'll take me through to the cheese reminder, cheese time, and say, away you go and eat some cheese. So that's how you do it. So any situation where you've got stuff coming down that you want the user to respond to, you've got commands the user could issue. This works through a Bluetooth headset. If I hold the Bluetooth headset down, get the bing bong, and then give the message, then I can do it in my car, no worries. It just works through the hands-free on the car as well. And it works even in a tunnel, because I can effectively build that grammar. The words are hardwired in, and then away we go. I didn't think it was worth a round of applause, but again, now that you guys, that's absolutely fine. You're too kind, and I'm too desperate. So we'll keep on moving, what we'll do now is we'll look at, having seen Cheese Reminder do its stuff, we'll just have a little bit of detail. This is how the phrases work, and so you can build these as much as you like. And in this particular case, the program uses that to select the units, and then off we go from there. There's a bit of messing around converting strings into numbers the hard way, but that's just a couple of lists. That's how I did it. If you want to, you can actually modify the phrases. This is where it gets really rather more interesting, because what you want is your user to be able to say, what time is Batman on? Not what time is, or what are the films at the multiplex, and what time is Batman showing? And you want your program to be able to pick up the Batman film and actually use that as the film name in a voice response command. And you can do that. Effectively, I can take my particular phrase list, in this case units, and I can give it a new array of strings, which in this case is by hours, minutes, seconds, millennia. I can bang that in. Now, my back end has to make sense of that. In real life, you'd actually make the back end pick these commands up and do send. You just have a little lookup table that binds things together. And so you can just call this update method, and that will update the actual messages for you. The connection is done in terms of the command set and the name in the XML file. So when you modify something, you have to find the command set that you're presently using or the command set you want to work on. And so you effectively use the installed command sets dictionary, look up the name in there, and make it match that. Another little gotcha. This is case sensitive. And in some of the examples, the E at the start is capitalized. And sometimes that one as well. So make sure when you're doing this that you actually line these things up precisely, because the first time I did it, it failed. It couldn't find it because I had a capital E at one end. You can name the command set here how you like, but it must match this thing exactly in terms of the case that you want to use. And then once you've done that, you can add things. You can create custom command files for each language, and your application can detect when it runs which language is being used and find a matching command file. So this is kind of how I do it in my voice music program. I have a list of all the languages I support. I then go and get the culture name, knock it into lowercase so I don't get caught out again. Then I can iterate through and just find. You could build a query, but I quite like for each. That works for me. So that basically says, do we have this language supported? Okay, so I can work through my voice command files, and I can find out if we support that language or not. And then I can go from there. The very first time you run it, I mentioned this a few minutes ago, you have to install the commands yourself. It's not done for you by default. So you have to handle this disgracefully. Why not? No. Gracefully is better, okay? So you display a message to the user and say, please run the program again. It'll work better next time. And so this is kind of how you do it. If we haven't got the language in there, I send a message and say, please run the program again, and the commands will now work from now on. If you try and use the command set before it's been installed, your program will throw an exception the first time it runs. So make sure it's there, and then you can modify. I use this in my album management program. The first time it runs, it has to go through my music collection and build the names up. And the second time it runs, it'll actually let you pick things and add things and do all kinds of good stuff like that. So this is the world-famous voice music, which you can get for free. It has a whole bunch of buttons you can use to play music in various ways. Each of these buttons is mapped to a corresponding voice command. If you can't find the artwork, it'll show you a picture from my copious collection of pictures. And it's well worth the money, bearing in mind it's free. This is the code that builds the album phrase list, and I can actually show you this working if I fire my phone up. Actually, what I can do is I can go... don't do that. I go on here. Voice Music Album Azure.
Finding Azure. Playing Azure.
That plays it. That's... Azure isn't really a word that I'm using in conversation much, but that's Steely Dan. And so you can basically just make it, just do that, and it works very well. Voice Music Random Album.
Please select from this list.
Yes, I've been silly. I've got two versions of Voice Music, the one I'm going to show you running and the production code version in the shop. So it's saying which of these you want to do. I'll do that one, too late. It basically found that you won't have that problem unless you're silly like me and have the same thing running twice on the phone. But effectively, it worked, and I can show you the code that actually builds the UI. If I go back to my home here, then this is the code which we're effectively not running because that's Cheese Reminder. This is the wonderful Voice Music. And what I have here is a bit of code that effectively, that's twice I've used that word, it goes off to my media library, gets all my albums, gets all the names, and puts them in a string. Now, it's kind of unfortunate you have to do this for loop business, but it does work. If I hit make sure my phone's unlocked, hit run, deploy to the device, and there'll now be a rattling noise. Followed by another rattling noise, and we hit that breakpoint. The first album in my list, you'll never believe this, is, if I go in there, it's Azure, hooray, which is the one that begins with A. And if I run it, go around that loop again, run on, then my next album, can't remember what it's called, is going to be Aliens Ate My Buick. Anyone heard of that album? Thomas Dolby, it's brilliant. Take it from me, it's very old. I am very old. It's great. It's a great album. It's got the fantastic single Airhead in it, which is good. So this is just working through all my records, adding them to the list. There's another one. This is Alicia Rose's World, and so it goes. You don't want to get before we get any more embarrassed by Robert's dodgy taste in music. We'll kill that off. Interesting things that I discovered, which are quite nice, that I didn't know until I did this. Earlier versions of the media library on Windows Phone only showed you the music you'd bought. But now I'm on Xbox Music with the All You Can Eat subscription, and those albums show up as well. So if you download the thing from Xbox Music, put it on the phone so you can play it locally, it shows up in this list as well, which is kind of nice. Didn't used to do that, but now it does. I've got one of these for all the albums. I've got one of these for all the artists, and it's the same pattern. One of those for playlists, and another one for genres or styles. I haven't got one for tracks. Version one of this had this brilliant idea where I'd actually have all the tracks playable. That's quite big. I've got thousands of tracks on here. It actually takes quite a long time to get that built, and so I stopped at albums, which is fine. But I've got random behaviours and things as well. And effectively, it all just hangs out. You've seen the code that makes it work. There is no stronger magic than that. And as far as I'm concerned, it's rather nice. And it works. And I can click my music as I'm driving along, and it all just goes a treat as well. As far as you're concerned, I'd expect you to be thinking about adding voice commands to actually fire up queries to your databases, reminders about stuff, all that kind of good stuff. This afternoon I'm talking about background agents. You can make a background agent update the phrase list in the background so that it knows what's on at the cinema. You know, tell me what's on this week, and it could work through that list for you like that. And because it's put this into the phone, you're not going to have an issue with needing a connection at that time. So you can be absolutely sure whenever you run this that the user will get a happy ending because it's not going to go on the network and try and find stuff and then spend ages. So that's Voice Music. You've seen it. I don't actually give that code away. Sorry, folks. that's my pension. Or something. Who knows? Free speech input. Yeah. This is where you just give it text, and it listens to it and tells you what you said. It seems quite reliable. but you must have a network connection. Once you've got the string, you can do with it what you like. When your application fires off the request, you get the listening interface comes up, and until they actually finish and hit the go button, your application is basically tombstone. It's waiting for this to come back. So you can't talk while you're listening, which I think is a good thing. When I was playing around with the Kinect device, which is kind of fun, and that has a tie-in to Windows speech recognition. And I work at university, and one of my jobs is marking exam papers, which I love doing. And I had this brilliant idea that rather than me having to write the number, I just call out 3, 4, 7, 9 total, and the thing will tell me the total. You say, oh, that would be really good. So I wrote this program that listened to the numbers and did all the stuff, and I thought, just to make it absolutely fail-safe, I'll make it speak back the number after I heard it from me so I could confirm. So I say 3, it says 3, I know it's got it. See, what could possibly go wrong? Well, I'll tell you, because I say 3, the computer hears me say 3 and says 3, the computer hears itself say 3 and says 3 again. And it hears itself say 3 and it says 3 again. And people walking past my office thought I'd gone nuts, because I was shouting, shut up, stop it. And this thing was just like going on. I had to basically hit the stop button. But yeah, don't do that. Doesn't end well, okay? It turns out to be impossible anyway, because while it's listening, effectively your application is tombstone. It's stopped. And you'll get the thing will come back in due course, and away you go. If you look at the simple speech recognition, this is how you do it. So we effectively make ourselves a recognizer UI. We then go off and feed it the string. And then it comes back as text. So we just effectively launch this thing. And eventually we get something back with a result. We can check the status to say, if you don't get succeeded, it means the user clicked the cancel button or backed out of it or what have you. You should probably handle that. I'm just dealing with it in a very, very simple-minded way. And the text here, payload, is basically what the user said. And I found it pretty good. It's okay. The thing is that if you allow the users to speak, they will do that, and they'll quite often give a whole bunch of stuff which your program then has a heck of a game making sense of. And so I don't find freeform, unless it's a voice memo, in which case that thing just goes straight into ISO store or something, I don't find that terribly useful, because in terms of giving commands, what I really want is to have some kind of a grammar and then pick the grammar up and recognize it, which actually is quite useful. We'll move that in a second. Before I do that, there are some customization options to mention, which are that you can configure how long the thing will wait until it hears speech. You can configure a thing called babble timeout and a thing called end silence timeout. Another joke. This polar bear walks into a pub and says to the barman, I'd like a pint of beer, please. And the barman says, why the big pause? And the polar bear says, oh, I've had these all my life. No, I quite like, that's one of my favorite jokes in all the world. And I quite like it. And it actually has meaning on this. This is not just ad hoc humor thrown in for no reason. This is true professionalism, because it makes sense in this context. If you didn't get it, by the way, then, yeah, okay, I can. There's one of my other favorite jokes is a horse walks into a bar, and the barman says, why the long face? This is my other one. I tell these jokes to my first-year students, and they know no better. They laugh. But the best one, try this. You say to them, did you know the word gullible isn't in the dictionary? And they all go, I bet it is. I've got to go find it and show you. No? Okay. I find that one really mean. They'll go off and look at it. Look, gullible is there. Look, it says gullible. It's oh. And then they walk away muttering. So there you go. That's another. But that's in terms of pandas and polar bears and big pauses, you can control how long the system will effectively wait in between phrases. Okay. So the thing is here, if you have a noisy environment or you have people that want to speak more slowly or whatever, you can fiddle with these numbers. You can configure that recognition object before you fire it up so that you can control how much time it'll wait before hearing something and timing out on the basis of that kind of stuff as well. So some of these things are 5 seconds. It'll wait 5 seconds before it hears something. There's no babble timeout. If the system hears background noise, it'll basically drop out unless you set that number bigger than zero. And here is the end silence. It'll wait for 150 milliseconds. If you find that the system's stopping listening before you've finished talking, then make that number bigger, and it'll have a bit more chance to pick everything up. So these things you can configure, and then away you go. And so this is kind of how you do it. There you go. Don't read it back. Show confirmation. It's false as well. And then these are my time spans to sort of set different values. It's very easy to do. You just set the settings up, and then away it goes. And it works like that. Errors, yep. You can bind to events that get thrown when the speech recognition goes wrong. So if you get an audio problem occurred event firing, then you'll basically bind to that one, and you can make it say speak more clearly or whatever. There's also an event you can bind to, which is when we move from one state to the next. So if you want to capture your voice messages on the back of an event, you can do that too. Just a reminder, like I said, I keep on saying this, if you're using free speech input, it's great, but the phone must have a network connection to decode the text. It's not the case with commands you build into the application. They're kind of scanned and hardwired and built in. But for free speech, you have to have a network connection. One thing I would strongly advise you to do is because there are status settings in the phone which will tell you if I have a network, and I'll be mentioning this again this afternoon as well. If you're about to do a big file transfer, it's best to check what kind of network you've got in case they're on GPRS and it might blow them away out of their tariff. You can use those things as well so that if you know there's no network connection, you won't even ask the question. So that's what I'd advise you to do. Make it as friendly as you can. But to make free speech work, you have to have that network connection. Like I was saying before, though, free speech, I don't find that interesting. Grammars, these have actually got a bit more going for them. You can build a grammar with a bunch of keywords and phrases that the system can then be made to recognize on the back of free speech. And you can design these to structure a conversation. So rather than having a very, very simple give me some text and I'll make sense of it myself, you can actually build up verbs and nouns and whatnot and actually structure the conversation so that you can actually understand a lot more right out of the box, which is kind of nice. There's a speech recognition grammar specification, SRGS, which has been part of Windows Speech for a long time. You can just pull that in and use it on the phone. It's a lump of XML. It's kind of complicated, but it's worth the effort if you want to have some kind of sensible command-based behavior. I can give you a really simple example now. There are some more complex examples on MSDN. The point I'm making here is that if you do want to have get me the results for March for Nevada, then if you want to have all that results and what have you pulled out and then the question made quite easy to understand, then you can use grammar. But for me, my personal feeling is that building it up as a voice command file and doing it from the actual program is actually better in many ways anyway. I'll talk about that a bit more in a minute or two as well. So here we go. This is what you would use if you're picking cheese strengths. Okay, so here's a bunch of strength names: weak, mild, medium, strong, and English. So I have a list. I give it a name. The grammar name is called cheese strength, and my array of trigger words is that little set there. So you can make this whatever you like, do it on the fly. Recognizer will now pick those words out and tell me how close it got to those. So effectively now I have a question: how strong do you like your cheese? And then turn on the cheese strength grammar and then fire it off. Now I'm going to get a result that will tell me which of the words it's recognized and how confident it is that that actually worked. So I get a text confidence enumeration, which tells me, yeah, I'm quite happy with that. And then away we go. And it'll pick the cheese based on the word. So this is effectively a free form, free running app, which wants to know from the user just how much cheese power they really want. The values that you get are high, medium, low, and rejected. And I can show you that running in a second or two. You can give it multiple grammars if you want at the same time. And what my code here does is it says, give me the top three matches in order, and you can then work through, see if you can find a good fit. If you're getting that complicated, then I think you need to be a little bit careful, because you might be about to respond to the wrong command. But yeah, final little bit about this. If people say naughty words, the system will pick this up, it won't echo them back, and there are profanity markers wrapped around words that they say, which they don't like. You could probably spend a happy afternoon with a bottle of vodka and Windows Phone SDK finding out just how far it can go in terms of profanities. I don't know. If you do that, don't do it in an open plan office, particularly the vodka bit, and see how you go. But it does actually deal with this. It does actually have a mechanism by which it respond to some naughty things you might think about saying. And so I'll just show you that going, since I built it. So, okay, always confuses me that bit. It jumps from one screen to the next. So I go, you can go away, and I'll put this up. And so there you go, weak, mild, strong, and English. And then, how do you like your cheese is the question. This is the code that asks the question. If we get a response which is not of the high, in other words, it's not confident, then it'll say, sorry, didn't get that, and we'll go around again. So if I effectively run this up on Mr. Emulator, who is filling up with programs even as we speak, and I hit the ask button, medium.
Heard you say medium.
Okay, that's okay. So let's mess with its head. Cheese is medium. Up goes my dialog box. If I go chicken.
Sorry, didn't catch that.
And then round we go again. And so this one, let's try again. Yeah. English.
Heard you say English.
Yay! See, and it, oh, it's just I like it. So there you go. That's me. That's me happy for a month playing with that. Maybe longer. So if you do have grammars, you can build them like this. If you want to do, I mean, the thing about this becomes useful if the application has been fired up and you're talking to the user, then you're in business with this. I like the idea of firing the app up from the command line a lot. One of the things I can't understand why no one has built this is two things, actually. First one is, why has no one taken a text-based adventure game like the old Colossal Caves, where you go left and go right and take axe and kill dwarf, and made that work in voice on Windows Phone? Because it would be really, really easy to do. Because your phrase list is go, pick up, take, and north, south, west, east, and what have you. So your commands are very limited. You feed those in, and it can speak back the descriptions, and you can use what's called ISO store for the program to remember where you got to in the maze. So your program would run, make the move, describe the location and what had happened, and then stop. And the program would then get run with another command, and then so on and so on. So you could make a text-controlled adventure game for use by people who don't want to see the phone at that time really easily. You could also do multiple-choice quizzes using voice response. You can make it ask the question and then write into ISO store question one, wait for the response to come back. It could build a phrase list to get the answers back in that you're expecting, and it could then actually fire on that, you are right, you are wrong, and then round again. Because if you think about how this fits together, from a technical point of view, it's a no-brainer. It's very easy to do. You just have the phrase lists, which you get fired on, and then you go off and do the work. So what I really do want you to start thinking is, well, two things. One is, if I'm a phone developer and I have an app out there, I will now put speech on it. Because at the very least, I could make my game restart. You know, restart last level, start again, blah, blah, blah. High score bragging. It could tell you what the high score was, whatever. All kinds of things could just go in there. And for anything where you've got users making queries of your system for whatever reason, it's an absolute no-brainer. It's a dead doddle. And it works a treat. And I found it even in the car, the offline voice response, I found extremely reliable. So in terms of recap, which of course you can't see, it's a secret, we can easily add speech to apps. If you're looking at two apps in the marketplace, one of them has speech and one of them doesn't, vocal, go for the speaking one and make sure that's yours, basically. You can get text files and speak them. You can add this speech synthesis markup language, which is very hard to say, to add emphasis. We can actually make a voice, we can then, having got it speaking, make it listen. There's basically two flavors of listen. The hardwired one that starts your app and gets commands put into it and doesn't need a network connection, and the freeform one that takes anything and supports grammars but requires this network backend to actually make it work. That's pretty much, in terms of speech, I've kind of hit the end stops because that's all there is to it. And I'm really, really, really hoping that you're actually thinking in terms of, ooh, there's actually things I could put in my app that I could actually make this even better by using this technology. So that's good. Integrated content, there are some breakout sessions coming up. There's mine this afternoon, which is the background agents. There is a hands-on lab for speech, which is kind of good. I'm going down to the shop floor, and I'll be all around today. Please don't forget to go to my really funny blog, which is robmiles.com. Hey, thank you. So please do all that. There's a whole bunch of other, they haven't updated this from last time, but never mind. So who's been paying attention? Who wants to win? And I've learned something from Rob, Plaque, and Rocket. You all know. Okay. What does SSML stand for? Who was that? Oh, you should have put your hand up there. Just say it. Saying it doesn't help me at all. Let's try it again. This one. What does VCD stand for? Hands up. Yeah. Thank you. You win. Give the man a round of applause. Put this on your desk and blog it. There you go. It's a rocket and a memorable plaque, of which there are only three in the world until I print another 5,000. I was going to give them to my students. It says I have learned something from Rob, but I think giving them to my students might be actually pushing it a bit, might be a tad ambitious. Okay, before we go on to give a phone out, have you all got your, all handed in your blue slips? While we get your blue slips handed over, any questions? Yeah.
The only way that you can get text back is by doing the free speech.
Yes. Yeah, once the voice commands have been used to fire application up and pick the page you're going to hit and the commands that are put on after that, then you're inside your app now, and that means you're effectively using the listen protocol to get things from that point onwards.
And that needs
a network connection. But what I've found with stuff that I've built is if you're clever about the way you use the commands and structure them, then you don't need that second level. Bear in mind that it's actually very quick, simple, and cheap to refire the application up again, even over the top of itself. So if they're cruising along and your application asks them a question and they press the Bluetooth button to reply the answer, then if they put your app name in front of it, then your app will get restarted, but it will have written back into ISO store the context in which the answer is being delivered. That's how the game would work. So for me, the best way to do it and the way I've had the most success with is to do everything on the back of the voice command that comes in and starts the application up. The free speech stuff I found a little bit less useful because it's harder to use from within the app without the user having to interact with the phone. But the command starting up stuff, that works every time and through a headset. So for me, the idea is that your program will pose the question, write the context information into ISO store, and then wait for the user to restart the app and then deliver the answer to it. You have to do whatever it is you do to get the hands-free thing up, yes. But that's much easier than actually using the phone. Well, you don't need the phone to do that because your Bluetooth headset will do that and your car headset will do that as well. I mean, it would be nice if you could get that nice feature on the voice commanding us directly into your program as well. But at the moment, that's not available, unfortunately. Yep. Okay. I don't know. I should do that. I should put something on and watch the messages go backwards and forwards. The question is, how much data gets sent backwards and forwards when you're doing your text to speech? And the answer is, I've never tried. That's a really good question. I'm going to have a go with that and blog it. So go to robmiles.com in a few days' time, and I'll see what I can find out. Hey, thank you. Sorry, the rocket's gone. Sorry. I'll try and find that out. I don't think it's a lot. It's very quick. There were some things in the press about a week back. They've just doubled the speed of their speech recognition on the phone back end. And I have noticed that since the announcement, it's gone a lot quicker. So they must have done something. They're doing a sort of deep neural net type blah to make it more responsive. And it seems to work very well. But I don't know how much data gets sent. It'll be a little bit of WAV file, basically. But I'm not quite sure how much. I will find out and blog it. Good question. Thank you. Any other questions? Yeah? Good question. The question is, when I make my alarm in the Cheese Reminder app, what happens if I leave the Cheese Reminder app? Does the app's navigation still live on? The answer is yes. I'll be covering this afternoon in the background agents talk, but basically it becomes a proper reminder. So if you go away from that app, it will actually still fire up. If you turn the phone off, that won't go very well. You'll lose it then. But if the phone's still awake, yes. And so what you can do, I mean, it's an interesting thing, because you can use that technology to make your program do annoying things like, say, you haven't played my game in a while. Fancy another go? You could set an alarm several days in advance to remind folk to do that. And as long as they don't turn the phone off, it will fire. So as far as these are concerned, I've done some tests. It doesn't survive a phone being turned off and back on again, but it just goes into the reminder stack for the phone, and it'll go off whatever's on the front. And the one thing I don't like about that reminder screen is it's not inherently obvious to the user that you touch the top bit to follow the deep link into your app. You can make it snooze for 5 minutes, and you can cancel it, or hit the top, and you go into the application to actually deal with the thing, but it's not made massively clear in the context of the application that's actually been done, if that makes sense. I'll be talking more about background agents at 3 o'clock. Any other questions? No one wants to know how I do my hair. No. The answer is I don't, obviously. Any other questions? Which is heavier on the moon, a ton of coal or a ton of feathers? Think about that one. Thank you, equal, very good. Yes, and the profound question of the day I will leave you with before the draw is, how do you throw away an old dustbin? Because we got one, we left it out, nothing happened. Left it out, nothing happened. Need a bigger dustbin to put it in, we decided, but that's another thing. Okay, we have a draw, we have to pick a winner now.
Okay.
So,
hand?
If you want to pick, if you pick it, that's fine. You haven't all written Rob Miles to embarrass me, have you? That would be funny. Of course you did. Thank you. Oh, no. It's Wimthe, Wimthe, from Aviva. So, well done. He's done nothing but write his name. Come down here and we'll give you the phone. But he has won a prize.
You have the phone?
I don't have the phone. I'll have to give him mine. No. I have the phone. There you go. Enjoy. Do you have a Windows phone already?
Kind of.
Okay, well, you have two. So, well done. Congratulations. And keep winning. Okay, thank you, guys. And 3 o'clock, remember, I think it is. Come back and see me again with different jokes. And another rocket.